Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Mexico confirming a fresh case of New World screwworm in the state of Nuevo León, less than 70 miles from the U.S. border. Discovery marks the northernmost detection of the pest during the outbreak, posing the greatest threat yet to American cattle and livestock. The state sits on the highway corridor linking Monterrey to Laredo, Texas. It's one of the busiest trade routes in the world. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said Trump administration executing a five-pronged national plan to prevent the parasite from entering the country. Since July, USDA and Mexican partners have monitored nearly 8,000 traps across Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico, analyzing more than 13,000 samples with no flies detected. Now, efforts include dispersing sterile screwworm flies, investing in new sterilization technology, expanding surveillance, and increasing public awareness. USDA also closing ports to imports of cattle, bison, and horses from Mexico, while continuing to audit and support Mexico's trapping and control efforts. Officials say more announcements expected this week as USDA moves to protect livestock, wildlife, and the nation's food supply. Well, USDA's monthly cattle on feed report showing 11.1 million head in U.S. feedlots with the capacity of 1,000 head or more as of September 1st. Now, it's down 1% from last year. Placements in August, 1.78 million head, 10% below last year, with net placements at 1.73 million, marketings reaching 1.57 million head, 14% lower year over year, and marking the lowest August marketing levels since the data series began in 1996. Global farm trade bracing for fallout as higher U.S. tariffs trigger new disputes at the World Trade Organization. Brazil formally requesting consultations with the U.S. last month following earlier actions by Canada and China. Move comes as Washington reimposed an additional 10% duty on imports from all trading partners, with higher rates on about 70 products, including key ag goods. Soybeans, rice, fruits, and vegetables. Among the most exposed sectors, China has yet to make significant U.S. soybean purchases, while Canada's consumers shifting away from U.S. rice. Fruit exporters from South Africa and Chile warn that higher U.S. barriers could leave millions of cartons of citrus, cherries, and blueberries unsold. USDA September dairy market report showing U.S. milk production climbing 3% year over year this summer, with milk solids up nearly 4%. Strong cow numbers and per cow yields boosting supplies, while butter output rose 8%, cheddar production up more than 8%. But despite the growth, prices slipped as July's all milk average fell to $20.80 per hundredweight, down $2 from a year earlier. Feed costs also easing, but the dairy margin coverage margin narrowed to 10.94. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
First, today we are announcing USDA will invest and build a domestic sterile fly production facility in Edinburg, Texas, which is situated about 20 miles from the southern border and complements the dispersal facility we have already begun production on.
Mexico confirming a fresh case of New World screwworm 70 miles from the U.S. border. Last month, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
With a capacity to produce 300 million sterile screwworm flies per week, and that's how we eradicate the parasite, this facility will triple our current output and eliminate our sole reliance on Panama and Mexico for sterile fly supply, putting America first. It's a tactical move that ensures we are prepared and not just reactive, which is to date what we have really been working through. We will invest, the federal government, up to $750 million on this facility, not an insignificant investment, and it will also create about 300 jobs right here in Texas. Second, we are launching up to $100 million in addition to the $750 million to identify and deploy cutting-edge technologies that can accelerate our response while the construction of the facility is underway. From novel traps and lures to modular sterile fly units, I am calling on the brightest minds in the country to build on our existing tools and help us outpace this pest quickly and in the most innovative way possible. Third, because of the migration of infected wildlife over the U.S. border, keeping in mind, Governor, and those who know this issue well know, back in the 1950s and 60s, we didn't have this population of wildlife in South Texas the way we do now. But we are ramping up the hiring of USDA-employed mounted patrol officers known as the Tick Riders or the Tick Crew. I actually went and rode the border with them about a month or two ago, which will be the cornerstone of our surveillance program. The Tick Riders are mounted on horseback and will provide the first line of defense against a New World screwworm outbreak along the U.S.-Mexico border. We're also training our Beagles of the Beagle Brigade to detect screwworm infections and will be significantly ramping up our border surveillance program with those and others. And finally, because pests don't care where the border is, we are working directly with Mexico, perhaps in a way never seen before. My counterpart, Secretary Julio Bertagay, and I are in contact almost daily on this issue at this point. We are working with Mexico to boost the surveillance training and oversight inside Mexico to ensure real-time tracking and reaction time while the U.S. works to verify Mexico's reported results and to help them improve their systems south of the border. Mexico has agreed to halt animal movement in affected zones, which will help push screwworm back towards the Darien Gap and away from our doorstep. The entire Trump administration is working in one coordinated effort to prevent this pest from entering the United States. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, of course, helmed by our friend Dr. Marty McCary, underneath Secretary Bobby Kennedy, is identifying current animal drugs, whether authorized in the U.S. or abroad, fast-tracking those that would likely be effective against the New World screwworm. FDA has been a strong partner and is currently undergoing expedited avenues to ensure animal medical countermeasures are available. USDA and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, are constantly monitoring our ports of entry, again, to keep the pest away. We are working alongside Secretary Chris Wright in the Department of Energy and Administrator Lee Zeldin in the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, on new innovations to combat the pest. More coming on that, and we will continue to take all necessary steps across the entirety of the federal government, working alongside our partners at the state government and in the local governments to ensure that we keep this pest, this parasite, and others like it out of our country that threaten our economy and our way of life.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers. This is Agriculture Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the committee will come to order. Welcome and thank you for joining today's hearing entitled USDA's Rural Development, Delivering Vital Programs and Services to Rural America.
South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson is a member of the House Ag Committee and a chairman of a subcommittee on rural development.
Today we're going to hear from great rural leaders and former USDA rural development officials about why the programs and services that rural development provide to rural America are so incredibly important. This builds on a series of rural development hearings that this subcommittee has had in recent years. Last Congress, we examined programs that support broadband, energy, water systems, rural businesses and industry, rural cooperatives, and biomanufacturing. USDA Rural Development is uniquely positioned to serve our rural communities. Today we'll learn about the various programs that provide needed investment in our rural communities, essential infrastructure, small businesses, and economic development. So let's just highlight a few so we're all on the same page. We've got the Community Facilities Loan and Grant Programs. Those are crucial tools to provide essential community infrastructure in rural America. Projects include fire and rescue stations, village and town halls, healthcare clinics, hospitals, adult and child care centers, assisted living facilities, rehabilitation centers, public buildings, schools, libraries, and many other community-based initiatives. Just, it's hard to imagine what our rural communities would look like without them. The Value-Added Producer Grant Program is really an unsung hero of the RD programs. Farmers and ranchers are eligible for this program that helps them enter value-added activities to generate new products, create and expand marketing opportunities, and essentially increase income. The Rural Development, the Rural Economic Development Loan and Grant Programs provide funding for rural projects through local utility organizations. USDA RD provides zero interest loans to local utilities, which they in turn pass through to local businesses for projects that will create and retain employment in rural areas. The Rural Business Investment Program promotes economic development and creates jobs and wealth opportunities by supporting the equity capital investment needs in rural America. The Rural Micro-Entrepreneur Assistance Program provides loans and grants to micro-enterprise development organizations, MDOs, to help micro-enterprises start up and grow through a Rural Micro-Loan Revolving Fund and provide training and technical assistance to micro-loan borrowers and micro-entrepreneurs. That is lots of acronyms, but also a lot of good for real America. Most of these programs were reauthorized in the Farm, Food, and National Security Act of 2024, and so they have an expiration date. As we move forward with reauthorizing expiring USDA RD programs, the feedback and the conversations that we're having here today will help us improve these vital programs so that we can even better serve rural America and the rural communities that all of us here represent.
Ranking member on that committee is North Carolina Representative Don Davis.
The Community Facilities Program provides affordable funding to build and construct essential rural community facilities, such as firehouses, police stations, and community centers. Another successful program, and that's really important to me, is the Reconnect Loan and Grant Program. Oh, God, I can't tell you when I think about living in Eastern North Carolina and broadband and the need to make important connections. These are just some of the programs. I could continue on, RBEG, in terms of rural business development, development grants. These programs are essential.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
It was remarkable. We were able to go buy our first trip to the UK a few months ago, but now, I don't know, there was just something different.
Recounting a recent trip to 10 Downing Street in London, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
And I think what I was experiencing, I was there the day before the president got there, or President Trump, and hopefully most people saw, they really laid out the red carpet for him. There is a really interesting feel in the UK that I've never felt before. I think they realize that what President Trump and the team has been able to do against a lot of difficult circumstances and trying to return and restore prosperity, they're really looking to model that, even though their Labour Party, which is the more liberal party, is in charge over there. They want to deregulate. They want to cut taxes. They want to make gas and fuel cheaper for their people. If they want to support their farmers, we'll see about that. That's never been a priority for them there like it is here. But walking up to 10 Downing, you could almost feel that. You could feel the history, but also understanding that, you know, they're at a bit of an inflection point in their country's history as well, as are we in America. And it all kind of came full circle. So it was great. Thank you for asking.
Is there a big opportunity in the UK for U.S. ethanol?
I did not know the answer to that until I went this trip. Now, clearly, ethanol was a big part of the big deal that was struck with the UK a month or two ago. The deal, to your point, they'd been trying to strike for almost 20 years and never, you know, and no administration, Republican or Democrat, had ever been able to achieve that. President Trump, alongside the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, struck a pretty game-changing deal for, especially for our American producers and especially for ethanol. But that's just the deal. It's the contours of what could be. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're committed to selling this much, or if you were, there's probably not as much accountability there. So what I decided to do, especially with our row croppers, you know, really feeling the pain right now, is hustle over there myself and take a bunch of our ethanol sellers from America with me, sit down with a lot of their buyers in the UK, meet with the UK government, really understand, is there a lane here where I, representing President Trump and our cabinet, representing the U.S. Department of Agriculture, could myself walk into a room and bring buyers and sellers together? And I tell you, we walked out of there, Tony, and I could not be more encouraged. The buyers that came to the table from the U.K. kept explaining multiples of times how excited they were for this opportunity, that as the UK begins to shift away from their own ethanol plants, they're really going to be buying most from America beginning next spring, which of course is this current crop, this current harvest. And that's a game changer. I mean, you're talking about a significant increase, significant. The UK was already our second biggest purchaser of ethanol before the deal and before our meetings this week. I don't know that they'll move into first, but I do know they're already buying a lot and they're planning to buy, you know, a significant amount more. And this is before they even potentially move from E10 to E15. So it was a really encouraging trip.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, who also said Taiwan is a huge market for U.S. ag and more trade deals are coming. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We've had a nice, cool spring. We've also had a kind of a cooler summer than usual, and we've had a lot more rain than what we typically do.
That's Ashley Ferris, an Oklahoma State University extension entomologist, focusing today on fall armyworms.
All of which bring about really happy grasses and other types of crops that they can happily feed on and move readily into our winter wheat. So our producers that are having their wheat emerge, to get a strong, healthy stand, we want to be sure that they're actively scouting, and I would say regularly scouting. That means more than just once a week, especially when our wheat is really, really small. This is just because those fall armyworms can take hold pretty quickly and cause damage and stand loss pretty quickly as well. So what I suggest for now is scouting in the evenings, maybe every other day. Just walk your fields, especially at the borders, any kind of edges where you have grass or weeds. Be looking at the base of the plants that are coming up and look for some really, really small worms that might possibly be moving around, even some small egg masses too. We want to be sure that you're catching them while they're small because they're going to be a lot more easier to manage before they get into those larger, more voracious worms. For our producers that haven't yet planted, the first thing is if you have the time, make sure that your field and the areas around your field are weed-free for at least 2 weeks. That way they don't have anything to move from and then directly into what you're planting. If you have the option, something to think about would possibly be an insecticide seed treatment, but I know treating seed does take time and sometimes you need to get that done a little more in advance, but if that is something that you're going with, be sure that that insecticide seed treatment is actually labeled for our fall armyworms. That's because not all insecticide seed treatments are going to be the same. They work better for some lepidopteran pests, which are going to be our moth and our worm kind of pests, but they're not all effective for the fall armyworm. When our treatable threshold is going to be is when you have about 3 to 4 larvae per foot of row and you see some signs of damage. So those smaller worms, they're going to cause window painting on the leaves. When they're feeding, they're going to scrape off that top leaf material, and so you might see some transparent pieces of those leaves. As the worms get larger though, then you're going to start to see evidence of whole leaf feeding, and that's when they can really become an issue. In terms of management options, we suggest producers select a product with an active ingredient such as chlorantraniliprole, lambda-cyhalothrin, or cyfluthrin. I do want to note that not all products are going to be labeled for fall armyworms when we even think about our foliar insecticide applications, so be sure to always read the label, be sure to always apply at a labeled rate, and also make sure you're paying attention to your pre-harvest interval or the time in which you're going to allow grazing to occur if you're grazing on your operation. There are some natural predators that are out there. These are going to be things like our lady beetle larvae and our lady beetle adults, our syrphid larvae. So sometimes you might see some green lace wings around too. Their larvae are also going to be predators. And really also those parasitic wasps. So they're going to come by, they're going to lay their eggs inside of the armyworm, parasitize it to where their offspring are feeding on it from the inside out, and they emerge out of those armyworms too. So anything we can do to promote those beneficials being around would be really useful. There are some insecticide options that are going to be more soft on beneficials than on others. So, well, we have a pest alert in which we talked about management for turf, as well as also pasture and preparing for this winter wheat where we might be seeing them moving into next.
Learn more online, sunup.okstate.edu. It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
Ms. Forbes, you mentioned defederalizing IRP funds.
South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson at a recent House Ag Subcommittee hearing on rural development.
Tell us more what you mean by that. How would that work?
Sure. So under the Southeastern Development Foundation, we have IRP funding. We actually have eight of those funds. That's a 30-year term at 1%. And over that 30 years for each loan that we have, we're required to submit quarterly reporting for those. So I've got eight of those. I'm doing 32 of those a year. Not only do we have to do it the first time that the monies go out, but when they come back and they go out again, we consistently have to keep track of the jobs. We consistently have to keep track of where are those funds going. With reduced USDA staff, it's a burden on my staff to put those together. It's a burden on USDA staff to review those. So it's one way that I think you could do more with less. Something similar was done several years ago through EDA, where they defederalized it. They, after you've had those funds for 7 years, they lose their federal flavor. The other thing that if you don't let them lose their federal flavor that we're required to do is we continue to have to do A-133 audits on them. So it's more expensive. It's harder to find those. If I do a regular audit versus an A-133, it costs me at least $4,000 to $6,000 more dollars. And so you're seeing that all across the United States with anybody that has IRPs. So this has been done before, and I think that it's something that should be looked at as we're looking to do with more with less.
Commissioner, you talked about fast-tracking approvals for small-dollar projects. Is there a particular step in the process you'd truncate, or how would you fast-track it?
Well, there's a number of projects that are relatively low-dollar, and they're relatively simple, and yet the same requirements apply when it comes to seeking funding. You know, at the county level, we can put the partners together and get things done, but with the cumbersome bureaucratic process of having to go through a lengthy approval procedure, it can also be a very expensive procedure in terms of all the preliminary work. There has to be a way to fast-track the smaller ones and recognize the many, many very rural counties that just do not have the resources to handle all the administrative burden. We can meet it halfway. The foundation being the federal funding, we can put the partners together at the local level and make things happen, which is what we're all in this for, is to accomplish the goals of these funding programs. But the cumbersome process, it's daunting. We have townships and boroughs, our local governments there, that have no staff to do anything like this. So I believe that there would be a way to have a fast-tracking process for the smaller projects.
As we think about, are there stakeholders that too often are overlooked as we're constructing reforms to these programs?
Absolutely. You know, I know I'm in trouble when I was at USDA if I was talking to someone who I was asking to help simplify a process and they'd never filled out that application. Right? Because when you talk to people who are having to put together those applications, I remember talking with a farmer who had a 4-inch binder that his wife had put together so that they could get a more efficient grain dryer. Those are the folks we've got to talk to. I mean, value-added producer grants is one of the best programs at USDA, and it almost always requires a grant writer for that farmer to work with, and that cuts the cost, or that cuts the investment that they could receive. So we've got to be spending more time talking with the people filling out the applications and having these user-guided pathways to walk with them through the application so you can identify, as Commissioner Heimel mentioned, those places where it takes too much time to fulfill the application.
Yeah, tremendous wisdom there.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
When you raise dryland cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dryland acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.